B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Paying Volin by the click at the Globe or something. Volin writes, Ben Volin, Boston Globe. In need of a playmaker, would the Patriots reconsider Antonio Brown? And he writes this like it's a serious topic.
It's a good investigative journalism.
No, like it's a serious topic. Like the Pats are going to bring him back. He seriously debates it with himself in this story today. It's the noontime hour
what
here on Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Chauncey.
He's going to do that or lick windows. What else are you going to do?
Unbelievable. And he writes in this story, I'm guessing a straight face. He writes, the only major roadblock to an AB reunion seems to be Robert Kraft, who eventually succumbed to public pressure in releasing Brown. How does he know that it was just an incident in which he succumbed to public pressure? How does he know that Robert Kraft didn't just get pissed off himself and says, I don't want this guy?
Or the personal attack on social media, too.
But that was
after.
That shut the door.
Is it succumbing to public pressure if you wake up one morning and say, I think this guy's an a-hole and I don't want him on my team? That's not succumbing to public pressure. So I would say if you're going to, you know.
But Beetle, don't forget, after the last day, I mean, what's his name? AB talked in front of his locker on Wednesday, and then the bad stuff came out Thursday. And then Friday, when Bill was confronted with that, and that was his walk-off press conference, his second one, he did say, we're looking into some things. But then the player practiced after that.
Yeah, he was
Friday.
In the game plan.
Correct.
The
player practiced. So that tells me that Benny's right there all the way, that, you know, finally.
Not on the ownership front. That's a coach's decision. The coach.
But I think the fact that he practiced, he was still okay with the quarterback and the coach.
And the coach, not the owner. He's talking about the owner,
and that's
Robert
what he's
Kraft.
Saying. So if the coach and the quarterback are still down with him Friday afternoon, and then he's not there, that's the owner saying, enough of this nonsense. I don't want to hear anymore. And it's public pressure, which there was considerable.
But that's indicating that his decision was based on public pressure.
What else would it have been?
His own desire to not want him on his team.
Which would have been because of public pressure.
Could be that, or could be even sponsors.
Or because he just genuinely doesn't like the guy, or doesn't want it himself. And he had the same reaction. Oh, but everyone has their limits, Dan. Everyone's got a limit somewhere. Everyone draws a line somewhere.
I think, Dan, when they brought him in, they were fine with stuff that happened before because it didn't happen in their building. But the first time something happens in their building, I think that was it. They were going to reevaluate.
Everyone lays sort of the ground rules. Hey,
they knew he was
got a pass.
Something had happened.
You do any of this crap here, you're done.
Right. Okay. Well, we're all saying the same thing, but we're saying that the coach and the quarterback were still in on the guy, and that the owner said, enough of this, I'm not doing it.
Oh, and I don't think the coach and quarterback have succumbed to anything. If we're up to them, he'd still be here.
That's why Ben Volin's writing this very fine column.
Well, it says here, the relationship appeared to be permanently severed when Brown not so subtly referenced Kraft's embarrassing prostitution dust-up on Twitter after being released. But if Kraft can swallow his pride, Brown could be the difference between winning and losing a seventh Super Bowl. With Brown, 19-0 might even be on the table. The drawback to rehiring Brown, of course, is all of the off-field noise, which has died down since the Patriots released him.
Before you read any more, can I get to what I want to get to now? Because this is the launch point for right there.
I would say it hasn't, though.
Well,
I'd say that's not true.
Is the league just punishing him by not concluding, wrapping up that investigation? Is this the league's way of saying, we don't like what you did in Pittsburgh, Oakland, New England, and we're just going to keep you in limbo?
How are they going to wrap up an investigation if he won't speak to them?
Well, do we know that he won't speak to them?
He will not speak to them. That's the latest report that he will not go talk to them.
Well, if you're Drew Rosenhaus, you might say, Antonio, let's get this over with, find out what the deal is, because no one's going to sign you when they're going to slap you in the exempt list and have to pay you to not play. We need to have that thing adjudicated and then move forward.
Or unless you're the agent, you want to get him signed and say, hey, you know, they got to pay you anyway. Who cares if you're on the exempt list? Because they're going to pay you, because I'm going to get a cut. You're still going to get paid.
Who's going to sign him when he's going to go on the exempt list without this thing being
cleared up? There's some crazy people out there, Dan. Some crazy teams.
You're going to sign him to pay him and not
here.
Play.
No, he's done here. No,
who's going to sign a player who's going to go on the exempt list?
Who's going to sign him without this case wrapped up being any real clarity on this case, period?
That's literally throwing money out the window.
Yeah. I mean, who's going to sign him right now anyway?
Takes one stupid injury.
Even if the league came out and said, our investigation's done, we're not getting involved.
But so you don't sign a player that is not available to play.
I understand that.
And now you have to pay a player who's not available to play. I mean, everybody's not paying him right now, but if Kansas City or Dallas signs him and they say, oh, yeah, he's on the exempt list because we haven't concluded this, then they're paying a guy that can't play. Why would you do that? And I think the league is punishing him by not concluding, wrapping up that thing. But you're telling me he won't talk to them? Well, then Rosenhaus has to say, we got to wrap this thing up.
Vaughn's story is just so dismissive of the whole thing. Like anything has changed since he was released. The former trainer quietly withdrew her federal lawsuit and instead is going to refile it in Florida state court. Either way, the case remains a matter of he said, she said, and won't be resolved for a long time. Which means what? Doesn't mean anything. The controversy with the female artist and threatening text messages has died down as well. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell hasn't placed Brown on the exempt list, so Brown is currently in good standing with the league, though its investigation is ongoing.
I would dispute that. My guess is if anybody signs him, he goes right on the exempt list.
Here's my favorite part. This is my favorite part of the whole story.
Okay.
The salary cap is an issue. Since the Patriots are so tight on space, perhaps they could sign Brown to a minimum contract and then promise to pay him the $9 million he is grieving next spring. Like a pinky swear, like a pinky promise. I pinky promise we'll pay you down the road. I pinky promise we'll pay you that $9 million that we're not agreeing to pay you. I'll tell you what, we'll both prick our fingers and we'll do like Blood Brothers. I promise.
Wolfpack.
We'll promise. I'll promise you, Antonio. I'll promise. Pinky swear.
Antonio probably wouldn't go for that.
$9 million, I promise. I'll write you an IOU. Well, I swear. Promise. You promise for I promise. I swear to you, I'll pay it. I will. I absolutely will. I will. I will definitely pay you that $9 million.
But what if you don't?
Well, no, I will.
I'm promising you.
Isn't my promise worth anything to you? I'd get him a promise ring. That's what I would do. Promise ring.
I like that.
That's what I would do.
The heart, you kind of do the zigzag cut in, like half of you is not, we're only together when we're together. Like, you know, we'll put it all together. You take half my heart, I'll keep the other half.
I promise.
Hardy, what's the name of that song?
Promise.
Magnet and steel. What is it, right?
I'm going to promise you $9 million.
You are the magnet.
I promise.
Do, 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 do.
To you, Antonio Brown, I solemnly swear I will pay you that $9 million. I promise. You have nothing to worry about, Antonio. Just take the minimum contract and you'll get that money. We promise we'll pay you. Oh, my God. What has changed with Antonio Brown that all of a sudden, the team would say, you know what? Let's call that guy back and get him back on the team. What's changed? It's only worse now, not better.
Well,
between the more that comes out with that lawsuit, the more insane he acts on social media, the more insane he acts in these depositions in Florida, the guy is off the rails, people. His life is upside down.
What are you talking about? Are you saying he'll never play in the NFL again?
I don't believe he will at this point, but I never rule it out, because if the investigation does wrap up at some point, someone will probably give him a chance.
Oh, yeah.
This is a league that gives guys chances,
chances
if they're talented.
He'll play again.
So,
only if he gets off the exempt list. I know he's not on it, but the notion.
What does it matter? Is he going to play here again? That's what we're talking about.
Well, and
is he going to play here again?
If all that stuff were cleared up, those two cases, and it's all tied up, and the commissioner says, you know what, we're giving him you know, when he re-signs, he'll get a two-game suspension.
You think Robert Kraft is going to let him put a Patriots uniform on after that time he went on Twitter and said, oh, remember that time he got bagged in the parlor down in Florida, or however he worded his tweet? You think that's going to happen? Oh, just swallow your pride? What are we talking about? That's a serious story today?
Great story.
See, those are there's two things in the story that I disagree with.
Great
the most.
Story.
One of the one, the only major roadblock.
Why? Why is it a great story?
Because you're talking about it.
So you just said it's just throw crap against the wall for clickbait stuff. So clicks on that.
I believe that if the
that's
league,
a great story to you.
I believe that if the league wrapped up this investigation and told everybody what it is, and if a team takes a chance on him,
no, the Patriots.
No. This is
not
about the Patriots. I was
the
told
Patriots.
Today. What'd you say? The game's what, 7.5 hours? I was told today by someone down there that I get a better chance of starting that game tonight instead of Tom Brady than this guy ever suiting up here.
Okay. I believe that if he's eligible to play, the Patriots would look at it. I believe.
Okay.
That.
No.
It's,
all
to
right.
Me, it's all about eligibility. That he's not eligible, and no one's going to take a chance on him. If he were eligible, it's everybody. He's going to get signed, and he will be able to play that next week. That he would be of interest to the Patriots.
Now.
Yes. I do believe that.
Okay. Well, I would disagree with you.
It's a matter of the exempt list, in my view. And I'm not saying
that. He's not on the exempt list.
Well, no, but Dan's saying that he believes that it would be.
If anybody signs him, he then goes on.
He thinks that. And that's not an unfair. That's a reasonable thing.
They basically told us that.
But here's the problem, Dan. And this is why.
Are you picking up on the other side?
Yeah, because there's two points that I disagree with Volin. And one of them speaks to, I guess, the whole eligibility thing.
Because I think Dan's making a very valid point on this about if he gets signed, he's going to go on that list. We'll talk about that. Right. And Hardy's got 2 points on this he wants to make. We do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Maybe too long. Get it done.
All right, a couple of thoughts there that I know you had, Hardy. Two issues you took with this.
Number one, in the Volin column about Antonio Brown and whether or not he would somehow end up back with the Patriots, he said the only major roadblock to an AB reunion seems to be Robert Kraft.
That'd be a big one.
Succumbed to public pressure in releasing Brown. What's that?
That'd be a big one.
He's only the owner.
That would be a big one. But also, there's Antonio Brown who can't get out of his own way. You know, all this assumes that Antonio Brown is somehow just out there waiting to play football again.
Innocent bystander.
Where I said from the very beginning on this guy, he doesn't want to play. Everything that he's got the physical skills. No one doubts his talent. But if he wanted to play football and make a ton of money doing it, he would have done it with Oakland, or he would have stayed with Pittsburgh, or he would have stayed off his frickin' phone while he was in New England, but he can't do it. But then he says, the drawback to rehiring Brown, of course, is all the off-field noise, which has died down since the Patriots released him. Oh, has it? Because I thought he made a total and complete menace of himself at that deposition, which he now has to be called back in for. And the other lawsuit has been refiled in a Florida court as opposed to federal court. It hasn't died down. It's died down around here a little bit because we're not talking about him every day. But the drama in Antonio Brown's life is right where he left it. It has not died down at all.
True.
So talking about the off-field noise dying down, no, it hasn't.
Just around here.
No. This guy is still an absolute menace to himself and to a lot of other people, whether you're someone who is, you know, training him or whether you're someone who rents a condo to him. So to think that the only drawback is just kind of like smoothing things over and getting Robert Kraft to... No. No one's doubting the talent. He would make any team better. He didn't want to play football.
Okay.
He does not want to play. You can't. Whether he's mentally ill or just equal parts stupid and mean or just, I guess. Just this whole self-inflicted wound thing that he's got going on, it all amounts to the same thing. He's not eligible. He is not ready to show up and do a job for this team or anyone else's team.
All I'm saying is, if you go back in time to the day they signed him after the debacle in Oakland, that if he could get to that stage of professionalism, the Patriots would look at him again. A guy who is available, who does not have lawsuits in front of him, has not misbehaved on their watch. If they could just get back to that guy from now, it's 4 or 5 weeks ago, they would look at him again, I believe, and you'd have to get past the owner. So that, I believe what Benny says is right there.
So the other part is that if he were to come back, he'd probably be placed on the exempt
Which
list
no
based on that, based on that sort of memo that was put out there. And I thought that was sort of a warning shot to teams. That's how I thought it was. It was a warning shot that, hey, you sign this guy, he's probably not going to be eligible to play.
Right. Which is why if you're Rosenhaus, you got to say, Antonio, if you want to play again, or you really want to play again, you got to talk to the league. We got to clean up this investigation, find out what the sanctions are going to be. And then teams will know what they're getting if they sign you.
Yeah. It was Yahoo Sports last week that reported that Brown has yet to talk to NFL investigators, and the investigation will remain open until he chooses to speak to the league about the allegations.
Speak to them. So they're saying he's choosing not to speak to them. And again, that goes to Hardy's point. Let me read doesn't want to play.
Charles Robbins says, I'll read directly from it. NFL investigators still have not secured an interview with Antonio Brown, despite the star wideout's case now entering its fourth week.
Yeah, I mean, they can't get him during study hall or something between classes.
The source added the NFL's probe will remain open indefinitely until Brown cooperates.
Okay. Well, and
that's from Charles Robinson, investigative reporter at Yahoo Sports.
And he will indefinitely not be signed until he cooperates with the investigation.
And right. I think what's going on there is that Brown and his agents and his representatives are enjoying sort of their side being played up somehow as a victim of the NFL statement.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They are. They're enjoying that coverage right now, which is, oh, look at the league railroading him with that statement. Yeah. They like the NFL's investigation being open right now. They like that. They're enjoying that.
Because it paints him as a persecuted one.
Right.
But don't believe anyone who tells you or tries to convince you that he's somehow being railroaded and he's being thought of as guilty until proven innocent. And anyone who wants to say at the end of the day, all he wants to do is play. No, he doesn't. Don't listen to what he says. Don't watch his Instagram. Pay attention to what he does. And what he does is refuse to play in Pittsburgh. He refused to take the field with the Raiders. He got into a fight with the GM. And when he got here after playing one game, he did everything he could to make sure that he wouldn't play here anymore.
So this is really important. This line, this source in the NFL adds, the NFL's probe will remain open indefinitely until Brown cooperates or there is a resolution to the civil case brought against him by his former trainer, which means they will not issue a punishment and decide the case until either the civil case is done or he speaks to the league. So as long as he refuses to speak to the league, his case will go unresolved.
Or hit a settlement.
What do you mean?
I mean, what if they settle? What if she just drops charges?
Well, that would be a resolution of the civil case.
Yeah.
But it's an either or.
Yep.
Either the case is resolved or he speaks to the league and they wrap up their investigation. But he knows they can't wrap up their investigation until he speaks to them. So he is the one holding it up.
Right.
That's on him and nobody else.
And no one will sign him while that's being held up.
Yes. 617-779-0985. Alan in Florida on the Dodgers and Dave Roberts last night. Alan.
Yeah, but just before I start, I just want to say one thing. Don't compare Bryce Harper with Mookie Betts. That's silly. And I'm sick of hearing about the Red Sox not having money.
That's not silly, though, Alan. Alan, that is not silly. They're both high-priced, young, super-talented players.
Yeah. Bryce Harper.
I'd rather have Mookie.
I don't think so.
I'd rather have Mookie.
I mean, yeah, so would I, and he had an off year, and he's a drawing card, and then, believe me, they're going to need that. Nesson's going to need it for the ratings. But anyway.
Harper's as much of a drawing card as
well. Yeah, I would say they're completely
young
disagree
superstars.
With you.
There's a great comparison.
Harper would have a bigger
there.
Draw here.
Yeah, all right, absolutely. Well, second of all,
not even close.
I grew up down the street from the owner of the Dodgers. We're very close friends.
Oh.
I just can't, Peter Guba. I just can't comprehend.
Guba?
Age?
H-A-H, Guba?
Peter Guba, G-U-B-E-R.
Oh, ah, got you.
He went to Newton High School, Dan, and Syracuse University. Anyway, I just can't imagine them being that stupid to do year after year to do this thing. I do believe that it was the analytics. And, you know, Dave Roberts just ends up looking like a complete imbecile. You know, he pitched the ninth inning, Kelly, to the bottom of the order. He was dynamite, bottom of the order. Anybody in their right mind would have known what was going to happen in that 10th inning with them coming up.
It was amazing.
I mean, it was amazing. And I just, it's unbelievable. I mean, if they keep Roberts, because I don't care if he wants to keep his job. He looked, you know, I love him because of the stolen base. But other than that, he looks like a complete idiot. I mean, this is ridiculous.
But if it's going to be analytics calling the shots, that anyone's going to be in the same, you may as well have someone who's good with the media, he smiles, he's likable, you know, have that be your guy. I mean, as long as, if you're going to be calling all the shots elsewhere,
yeah,
you really don't have a manager. So you just need someone who's good at the PR aspects of it to be in the chair.
Yeah. I mean, I read a story this morning on ESPN, and it said that he is known as a savvy strategist. And I was actually Jeff Passan, who I love. I think Jeff Passan's terrific. And he said this. He said, on a night of stunning turnabouts, Roberts, typically a savvy strategist, turning in this sort of performance was the shock of shocks. And I thought, wait a minute, pause, time out. Dave Roberts is a savvy strategist? Since when? Because anytime we've watched Dave Roberts as a manager here in Boston, 2018 World Series, we go, gee, we love this guy.
Oh,
I mean, he was a hero.
All his best
here.
Hitters are on the bench.
I mean, this guy is a hero in 2004. And then we said in 2018, hey, thanks for helping the Red Sox again because you suck.
He won two World Series for the Red Sox.
He stinks.
04 and 18.
Savvy strategist. Yeah. I would disagree with that assessment. No.
Some of those lineups they had the first couple of games last year, it was like all the best hitters were on the bench because what their numbers showed and what their people were telling them to do. We'll see where this goes. It's going to be interesting.
And maybe it was the nerds then, too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's exactly what it is. We're going to get to Dan's dates.
Oh, good.
Coming up next segment. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's an app. Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for. Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle. 98.5, the sports
hub. Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's dates.
Dates.
October 10th it is.
Boy, that 2 hours flew.
It did.
Thank you.
Good job, Dan.
I'll take credit for that. Yeah. So, starting off with a serious thing today, just give me a moment here. October 10th. October 10th.
Tent? You put it, tent. You live in a tent or house? Tent,
yeah. October, October pitch 10th. A tent.
It's
you
a day. A it's a day for me.
That's the last time you pitched a tent.
No, I'm going to go serious.
Let him, do his get thing. This out, please. Yeah. Jesus.
So, 1979, 40 years ago today, I was at Memorial Stadium. There was snow on the ground in Boston. There was snow on the ground in Baltimore. It was the Pirates-Orioles World Series, and the game had been rained out the night before. So I'm walking around the ballpark, and the PR director of the Orioles called me into his office to tell me that my father had died in his sleep in central Massachusetts 40 years ago today.
Wow.
In Groton, Mass. Purple Heart
what?
Recipient, William J. Shaughnessy, 64 years old, Purple Heart recipient, five children, and that's how I found out my dad died. I was at the World Series and came home in the Eastern Shuttle that day. It didn't cost that much back then.
Oh, Eastern Airlines.
So October 10. People born on this date. Adlai Stevenson III is 89 years old. Peter Coyote, he does all those voiceovers.
What, you mean Wiley? Is he Wiley's brother?
You know, it's if you listen to anything, you'd know his voice.
Adlai Stevenson, is he the one they sent in to go after the Russians in the in the Cuban Missile Crisis?
That was his father lost the presidency twice. He ran against Dwight Eisenhower twice and was beaten both times. This would be his son, the third.
Yeah.
Peter Coyote is 78 years old today. John Prine is 73. Do we know what he sings?
No. I know he's a singer, but I don't know what he
exactly.
sings.
Exactly. That's how I feel, too. Now, David Lee Roth. How old do you think he is today?
What goes on without me?
69.
I'm going
63.
65. You're closer.
Do you know that David Lee Roth directly impacted Hardy's life?
Oh, yeah.
Very, very. Things went very badly for me.
I got to hear this.
Directly impacted
his life. It affected a lot of lives. Down the hall, that guy, Adam 12, directly impacted his life, too. When Howard Stern went off the air, they put David Lee Roth on as his replacement in several markets. And that was the worst radio show of all time, including episodes of this one.
And Eddie Money.
I mean, it was... Okay. So bad that it essentially dragged WBCN down with it. We never really recovered.
Hardy had to work a different shift.
That's good radio.
Well, they hired Opie and Anthony and Toucher and Rich essentially on the same day out of two different offices without telling anybody. I ended up having to go to nights for like 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Sucked. Rough.
Wow.
Sucked.
Well, it's his birthday. Wish him a happy 60th.
No, I will not. Yeah. Things went very badly for a lot of people.
Tanya Tucker is 61 today. Used to go out with Glenn Campbell, who looks like Zoe before he was dead.
All true.
How old do you guys think Brett Favre is today?
50.
Yes. You knew that. How'd you
50
know?
50.
Yeah. 50. Exactly. They just, Peter King just did a sit down with him for his 50th.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 45 today. Stuff that happened on October 10th in 1845, the Naval Academy was established in Annapolis, Maryland. Bill Belichick, important day in the life of young William Belichick.
They beat Air Force last weekend.
Did they?
Yep.
Yeah. Who's the best of the three now this year?
It'll be between Navy and Army. Army's probably better.
Okay. On this date in 1913, the Panama Canal was effectively completed.
Panama!
It's kind of a biggie.
A man, a plan, a canal. Panama. It's a palindrome, see?
I know what that is. On this day in 1967, the Outer Space
Treaty. That's right. Kenway said he wanted to go to Panama City.
Write it down. Here, that is a good activity for you to do. What's next? Write down the sentence. A man, a plan, a canal. Panama. It reads the same forwards as backwards. Go ahead. I'll give him something to do.
Not so, Boston.
A plan.
Also, a palindrome.
Ah.
Yes.
Man, a plan.
Toby, a canal.
Toby Harris' last name was a palindrome.
Panama. And then now write down Panama.
I'm going to skip on down here. On this date in 1973, Spiro Agnew pleaded no contest to income tax evasion. Spiro Agnew, Beadle, was vice president under Richard Nixon. No. And Bill Belichick caddied for him. In Annapolis, Maryland.
Really?
He was a governor of Maryland when Bill Belichick at least one time was his caddy. Did you guys get through the palindrome over there yet?
I'm still showing him.
Oh, boy. Okay. Actor Orson Welles died on this date at the age of 70. Yul Brynner died on this date at the age of 65. Christopher Reeve, Superman of celluloid, who became a quadriplegic after a May 10 horse riding accident in 1995. He died on this date at the age of 52 in Mount Kisco, New York. Late Christopher Reeve. We loved him.
Oh, you put that.
The Summer Olympics started on this date, 1964, in Japan. The Supremes appear in the Ed Sullivan Show. Flo, Mary, and... Who was it? Diane.
I don't know.
It's Diana Ross and the
Diana
Supremes.
Ross, well, it was just the Supremes then. They appeared in 1965 at the Ed Sullivan. Did you guys...
You know the Delphonics are coming to Twin River soon. Harold Bloomhaven and the Delphonics.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Sort of the same thing with the Supremes. Same
did you get through your palindrome over there?
I did. Okay. That's pretty neat.
Race car. There's a shorter one for you. Race car. That's palindrome.
Stop it.
It is.
On this date in 1980, George Brett homered off Rich Gossage to send the Royals to the World Series.
Goose.
Jimmy Carter approved the Susan B. Anthony dollar. Anybody ever have one of those?
Sure.
Oh, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
And then a Sacagawea.
So... Okay, yeah, go ahead.
1978 on this date.
Sack of what?
One other thing, a football thing happened. The New York football Giants retired number 56 of Lawrence Taylor on this date, October 10th.
Let's run around like some crazed dogs.
Yeah. And Zoe says they're going to wear his uniforms tonight.
I hope they put the white face masks on.
Throwbacks.
Don't leave the gray mask. Put the white masks on. That's I might go nuts tonight if they have those on.
All right, I don't understand this one. Maybe you guys can help me out. In 1886, the first dinner jacket was worn to the Autumn Ball in Tuxedo Park, New York. Now, what's the difference between a tuxedo jacket and a dinner jacket?
No. A dinner jacket is just a regular blue blazer.
No, that is incorrect. I think a tuxedo jacket is one that perfectly matches the pants. But if you've got like a white dinner jacket, can have the satin on it like a tuxedo would, but you can wear black pants, then it's a dinner jacket.
Oh, okay.
I think
it's a party.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Beach Boys released their song Good Vibrations on this date.
Pocket Symphony.
1966.
This is a great, great song.
Like to just drive along the beach and smell Copper Tone sun lotion. Put the top down. Put the surfboard in the back of the car. We're going to wear flip-flops and board shorts.
Dan's leaving.
Dan's out the door.
What's the name of that record you talked about? They do the a cappella thing. Pet Sounds, is that it? I'm picking
up. Yeah, I don't know if this one is on. She's giving me good. This isn't Pet Sounds era. No. Good. More like God Only Knows a cappella version. Dan's really gone.
Yeah, for overtime.
He's really. Bye, Dan.
Well, that's 2 hours up fast.
Now we're done.
Oh. All right. John Bonham died on this day. 1980.
Mm. Yeah.
How did he die?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah. What, did he like choke on his own vomit or something?
Yes.
Okay.
It's exactly
I thought that was it.
From drinking a little too much. He had too much to drink. That's a horrible way to go, is it not? There are many bad ways to go, but right. That one's on the list.
I thought it was a couple nights where I thought I was going to die from
choking on your own vomit?
Just stay in college and you just... I can't get up.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, last week.
What's wrong with you?
I...
like...
I perfected it now to where I can just pass out. You know, just like... But then it's like... Let's pull over 12...
I perfected it now.
You know, it seems like a great night when you were 25.
No. When I was in Maryland.
Let's go into the city.
Not now.
There's a bunch of 26-year-olds. Let's drive home and throw up 12 times on the way home. Those are great nights. As you sit there and try... Why are my ribs sore for 5 days after it? Oh, from all the huddling over the toilet?
Here's one more for you. On this date, 1978, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry had a cherry bomb thrown at them on stage in Philadelphia. So Philadelphia, number one, that they would do that in Philly. And so for the rest of their tour, they had to perform behind a safety net.
Yeah, like in
safety
Roadhouse.
They set up safety netting, a fence, it sounds like. A safety fence.
Jeff Healey Band.
See, the Red Sox didn't start this. It was Aerosmith.
It's Aerosmith. And Neil Diamond had a number one hit. It hit number one on this date in 1970. You know what song it was?
1970. Isn't that Sweet Caroline?
Cracklin' Rose hit me a song.
Cracklin' Rose hit number one on this date in 1970.
One of my favorite songs.
Hit number one in the U.S. in 1970 on this date.
Nate, you like this?
Yeah. And with that, we gonna ride till they're hay. So likes this one.
Taking it slow.
We'll talk to Bruce Arena. Lord, you think he's a Cracklin' Rosie guy? You think he's a Neil Diamond guy?
I don't think so. I think he's more like a Sinatra. He's New York.
New Yorker.
His team's going to the playoffs.
Oh, they're jumping.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are 3 words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution. Bruce Arena joins us now on the show. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Is there anything different about preparing for a playoff match versus getting ready for any one of your regular season matchups throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, it's one and done. Your attention to detail, I think, gets ramped up a bit. And, you know, we're excited. This club hasn't been in the playoffs since, I believe, 2015. And it's a great opportunity. We're playing against the defending champions.
Yep.
And I think a one-off, and especially in our sport, in the sport of soccer, I think the underdog, the odds are a little bit better than they are in other sports.
We've talked to you about this and everything that goes on down there in Atlanta, and they're just the environment. And, you know, when you're winning in soccer, people show up. And you've talked about crowds, and you want crowds to come here at Gillette and everything. And How much can that help your team being on a road to be thrust into that where, you know what, this is an electric game? How much can that pick you up?
Well, it does. Our team enjoys playing on the road, but having had a rehearsal game, as I call it, the game last week, is a big benefit to us. So we're not going to go in there in unfamiliar territory. We're well aware of their team, the surroundings we're in. We're going to travel in a comparable way. So we have no excuses. We should be able to step on the field and play as well as we're capable of playing.
Coach, I read some stuff from Atlanta after that match thinking they might feel confident about their chances in facing the Revs in the postseason. It was quite the opposite. From what I read, it seemed like the team felt you had some really good chances, that they didn't play all that well against you, even though they got the win. Do you feel you played well enough against them to give them a lot to think about here in the next 8 days or so?
I think so. Our first half was good. Our second half was not as good. But some of the mistakes we made, we can correct pretty easily. However, you know, on a given day, anything can happen. But I think our team is really looking forward to the game where we're preparing very well this week. And then we have next week to clean things up. And I'm confident we can go in there and get a result.
I was just about to ask you, do you prefer the two-week layoff in between the games, and do you think that will benefit you?
I think so. This one, for us, I think is perfect. We've had a really stressful last 3 months or so where we've really had to get results in just about every game. So now we get a little bit of time to relax, collect our thoughts, get our bodies rested, and prepare for a team where we don't have to give our guys a whole lot of information. We know what they're about. We just have to be a little bit better and correcting the mistakes that we made in that game last week. So I think we're in a great position. I'm enjoying having 2 weeks to prepare for this game.
You got a little pep in your step and walk around with your chest out. Is this because the Yankees are in and how well they're playing? A little
what
swagger?
Do you think of the Yankees, huh? I tell you, a good friend of mine was at the Dodger game last night. And I'll tell you, playoffs are not easy in any sport. And it's really exciting. But my Yankees are pretty damn good.
Well, we're just happy the Reds are back in the playoffs, especially after the way the season started. It's a remarkable turnaround. And I know you're not going to, you know, rest on your laurels at this point. You've got a lot of time to think about it. But it's just nice to have the team back there.
Well, it is. But we have another team. I think they call them the Patriots across the hall from us that know something about winning and how to prepare for the playoffs. So we're trying to learn something here. And, you know, I know we're not going to catch up with them in the near future, but it's great to be in the same building with such a great team.
Coach, quick one for you before we let you go. Health-wise, is there a chance that Edgar Castillo would have a chance to play in the playoff game?
It's a possibility. He trained today, and I was actually very impressed with him. But we'll have to see how he gets through training over the next week or so.
Okay, Coach. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Coach. Great.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. Appreciate it.
Bruce Arena with us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline as the Revs continue their preparation for their first playoff game with Atlanta.
He's so damn cocky.
Single elimination bracket. This actually this benefits them because between Bo and Heel and Turner, those three guys, any one of them could steal you a match. With all three of them out there playing and healthy, they can go out there and they can overcome the odds. Upset Atlanta.
That place would be humming too, which is good.
I think Atlanta feels that way. Yeah. They went out there and played. Those guys are like, oh.
Yeah, you don't want to play.
They're dangerous. No, I don't think they want this match.
It's got that house money feeling, doesn't it?
It's fun. Like,
we shouldn't be here, but
no,
we got here.
It's good. It's good.
You don't want it.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it.
617-779-0985. Why don't we get back to the Patriots and get back to your calls? There are no commercials, just the headlines with Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Matey. Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Then Jarvis Green Ellis is the lone running back. Tight end on the left wing. Brady on first down from his own 6-yard line. Long count by Brady. Hand off to Nolan. Back to throw. Brady rolls to his right a little bit. Fires down the field. And it will be incomplete.
Threw that away.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. They're going to call intentional grounding.
Intentional grounding?
Hold on.
Intentional grounding.
Oh, my God.
The 12.
Yeah, it's, I said offense. He threw it away. Look at the
results. In a safety.
Billy O'Brien is on fire right now.
Intentional grounding called on Tom Brady. And that results in a safety as he threw it from the end zone.
That was such a weird play. Brady's intentional grounding in the Super Bowl against the Giants.
Started the game with it.
Yeah, first score of the game. A safety. Zoe on the sidelines of that one.
I was 3 feet from Billy O'Brien, and man, did he get him. He went nuts.
He was hot.
Oh. Well, I mean, the big thing was it was a clear throwaway by Brady. He didn't like what he saw, and he threw it away. He wasn't being sacked. See, they should alter that rule. Like, if you're under duress and you're in the pocket and you're getting crunched, you're going down and you just throw it to an open space, that's grounding. You're trying to get rid of it as you're going down. There wasn't any threat of him going down. It was just a clear, deliberate throwaway. Not near anybody, but I understand that's technically grounding. I think that rule should be altered. You know, how do you think it looks? You watched Baker Mayfield the other night. It looks like he was getting killed just chucking it, trying to get it to open spaces.
You wanted to hear the Manning to Manningham completion, didn't you?
Oh, the Mario Manningham one. I was about 10 feet from this catch.
Well, why don't we hear the one before that?
Okay.
The play before that, the Patriots offense.
Back. Second down and 11 for the Patriots at the Giant 44. Brady in a shotgun of an empty backfield, three receivers near side right, two to the far side left. Brady calling signals, takes the snap, has protection, goes to the left with it. It is cold dropped. Had it at the 20-yard line of the Giants. Welker could not hang on.
Ah! Way to go, Welker.
He didn't call it an overthrow.
That's his legacy here.
Wasn't Welker's fault.
Not brutal.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, listen, stop it.
How many catches did that guy make of
that
type of throw?
Of that type? Very few, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? They're touched?
Oh, yeah, really? There. You want to discuss this again? Was that Welker's wheelhouse up there?
No.
No,
he never had to make a lot of catches like that.
No. How many catches did Welker make like that? Very, very few. You know the answer to that. Was it down on his shoelaces where he caught most of them throughout
back.
His career? Right,
up and back.
Perfect. Oh,
he leads him up into safety. He gets
perfect
head
throw,
taken
huh?
off.
Perfect throw.
Oh no.
Oh, not a perfect
no,
throw.
No, we've debated this.
Well, he could not throw the ball and catch it.
Stop it.
Ooh. What did she say?
He could not throw the ball and catch it?
Not a perfect throw, but not a bad throw. Let's not make it out to be a bad throw. It wasn't a bad throw.
Hernandez missed one worse than that.
It's one of those plays that's going to be debated, though. Was it the throw or was it the catch?
And that's something.
For years
Aaron
and years and years.
Aaron Hernandez had a touchdown in that game.
You got to catch that ball. You got to catch that ball.
Does Edelman catch it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Don't even ask that.
He does. Edelman catches that ball. He absolutely does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, that's why Edelman is a Super Bowl MVP.
I go more drop than bad throw on that. That's not protecting the quarterback.
Oh, I'd give that if you want to break up the ratio of blame, like 75-25.
I'm with you.
80-20. 80 on the catch, 20 on the throw.
I think he makes that catch next 9 times he tries it.
Makes that catch. You're an NFL receiver. If you are a receiver in the NFL and you are able to turn yourself back to the ball and you really don't have a defender on you, I mean, in the vicinity, but not draping you. I mean, there wasn't a defender within 4 or 5 yards of him. There are 3 guys in the area, but no one on him. And you turn yourself back to the line of scrimmage and you put 2 hands on the football. You're in the NFL. you have to make the catch.
Four drop passes Four drop passes on that drive. Deion Branch dropped two after that, and Aaron Hernandez dropped one that he had no business dropping. But everybody wants to blame Welker.
Well, yeah, because
for losing the Super Bowl.
That catch would have sealed the game. That's why.
It's crazy how many things happen in these games between these two teams. Going back and looking, it's crazy.
He was such a great player here for so long.
I know, Wes was great.
And that play is going to define him here for basically ever.
The last thing you remember.
It sucks. Yeah. It sucks for him, but that one lives on. Sorry, Wes, catch the ball. All right, here's the Manningham catch and throw, which is just a ridiculous throw by Eli Manning.
Swat to the far side right. Snap to Manning on first down. Back to throw. Looks. Comes near side, and it is going to be ruled a catch near midfield.
I got to see that again.
By Mario Manningham.
If this is a catch, it's a miracle.
I got to see this again.
It's a miracle.
First down, Giants at the 50-yard line.
Ooh, that was unbelievable. All right, I'm tired of that game. No one wants to hear this crap. Let's move on. Can we move on to 2015?
Yeah.
76-yard touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's Brady fun. On the deep drop, stands in, fires down the middle for Gronkowski, makes the grab at the 45, good spinning boy. Away from defenders. He's gone to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. And a tie in the middle ends.
We're working on comeback number 39. And what I just tell you on first down after you move the sticks, take the shot down the field. It's Gronk. It's Amendola. It's Gronk. It's Amendola. Who they free up down the seam, the big boy. What a route by Gronkowski, but how about the concentration? You got him back here, and you got Big Ben Clark, and they're going for the knockout shot. Gronkowski with full concentration on the football, and he finds a way to get it in. What a throw.
That's pretty good.
Brandon Merriweather.
That's fun. How about the game winner? What was the game winner? Do you remember?
I don't.
Okay, here it is.
Gostkowski in the staggered stance. Allen turns back to the kicker. Extends the right hand. The snap in the spot. Swing of the right leg. The kick is driven to the uprights. The kick is good! Yeah! He got it! A game winner, perhaps. 1 second to go. The Pats have the lead by one.
It's why you franchise kickers. You want to talk about clutch? You've had two of the best kickers that we've seen over the last 20 years for this organization. Steven Gostkowski is stones.
Nailed it.
54
yards. That was down there. That game was down there.
54 yards.
That wasn't the most important thing to happen that day.
That kept you at 10-0.
Yeah. What's the most important thing?
Edelman got hurt.
Oh, my God. That's right. Why don't you play another bad Hallie, Jim?
Why do you have to bring that up?
That happened in that game, and that changed the season.
He went on IR, came back, had the screws put in, and he was okay for.
We might be talking about four Super Bowls in a row instead of three Super Bowls in a row. Appearances.
Thanks a lot, Jim. You know, we tried to get off the Super Bowl losses. We're trying to get off of that. And you bring it right back into the.
It's just crazy how many things happen in these games when these two teams meet.
I know. It's just proving the point today.
That makes me nervous.
Memorable things happen when these two teams meet. They've had memorable, obviously, Super Bowls are always memorable, but they've had memorable regular season matchups, too. Whether it be 2007, when the Patriots did win, whether it be the 2011 matchup that we talked about, whether it be this one in 2015 that was obviously thrilling and exciting. And featured a 54-yard field goal to win it. But, oh, by the way, Edelman got hurt. I mean, we went through all this stuff today.
Something
96, Dave Meggett with a, you know, punt return touchdown. The ridiculous catch by Troy Brown. The Ben Coates touchdown. The Patriots finish 11-5. They get a home playoff game. I mean, all this stuff. Stuff happens between these two teams. Shaughnessy wants to go back to shutting down Route 1, which, fine. I mean, you could do that, but...
Giants are 5-0 against the spread against the Patriots the last five meetings.
Jesus.
Odds Shark just tweeted that.
What's the odds tonight?
16-17, depending on where he is.
Speaking of odds, I have a bunch of different odds for you that I want to share with you, Scott Zolak.
Okay.
With you and all of our listeners.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing odds with you on not only the Patriots defense, but about the Patriots possibly losing a game versus another team. And some prop bets on Rob Gronkowski and his television debut tonight. You could place bets on Rob Gronkowski.
You think he's practicing right
television
now.
Debut. I will tell you about all of those coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.